thank you for the warm welcome that I feel here in your beautiful town of Dearborn, Michigan. And when I say warm, I'm talking about the temperature in here, because I miss that warmth from my home zone of California. I've come here today to kind of represent that home base of Chris and Stacy and the children, and to give you a little bit of an insider view or a sideways glance at your new pastor, Chris Thomas. Well, I wish my wife, my sweetheart, Rosebud of 40 years could be with me here today. She would love the beauty of this place. She has an eye for art, for beauty, for those images of the life of faith that are so rich. And so Pastor Chris took me on a full tour yesterday afternoon and gave me an opportunity to come into this place while it was empty and just to see this beautiful structure. The beautiful images hanging in front of the glass. And my eyes go even beyond the physical structure here to see the beautiful landscape that's just beyond. And I can't even begin to imagine what it would be like when all those leaves are budding and the beauty is before your eyes. So thank you for the privilege of being here with you. And, you know, those rosebuds in my backyard are starting to blossom, I just have to tell you. We had a few 80-degree temperature days last week in Northern California. Wow, the effect that that has on a blossoming rose bush. I'm going to comment about that when I end my comments again here in just a couple of moments. But I've come here today to speak about my brother Chris Thomas as a disciple who Jesus loves. That phrase came out of that scripture that was just read. I'm going to focus briefly on three different scriptures from John that use this phrase. Now, we remember who wrote the book of John. And we remember that the fact is that whenever John would use the phrase about the other disciple that Jesus loved, that he was speaking about himself. So a sort of discreet but not totally secret way of John saying there was something just a little extra special about the relationship that Jesus and I had. Very interesting perspective. You know, in God's inspired word, I don't think John could have got away with that, just as sort of a pat on the back to make himself look good. I don't think Peter and the other disciples would have let him get away with writing that kind of language if they didn't also agree in some way. There was something special. There was something unique about that relationship that Jesus and John had. So I'd like to think today that I'm a disciple. I'm a disciple. Carlo is a disciple that Jesus loved in a special way. I've come here to tell you that I believe that my brother Chris Thomas is a disciple that Jesus loves in a very unique way. Chris has been one who's been blessed in many ways in his journey. He's had spiritual mentoring and discipleship in his life that has helped him in the times of struggle and failure, that has allowed him to avoid the pitfalls that could otherwise have completely slayed him. Jesus gave Chris his amazing wife, Stacy, a partnership there for support and faithfulness and love and accountability so that Chris could fulfill his calling as a disciple that Jesus loves. And God has given Chris an extraordinary educational training and background with the degrees that he has, the schools that he's been influenced by, and then the unleashing of these gifts of knowledge and study and teaching and preaching that Chris has. And if I lived in your neighborhood, I would come to this church and listen to the heart of God being spoken forth through Chris, his study, his heart, his love for Christ. What a privilege it is to look at the scriptures in the book of John, three different passages that talk about this amazing concept of the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, when you heard Elder Diane reading the scripture, did you think, didn't we just have Easter? We're reading this passage about the tomb. Amazing passages that come from the book of John that have these momentous, incredible implications for what it means to be in the family of God. These scenes from history. But sometimes we lose this. Maybe it's a little bit of a hidden undercurrent Each of these three passages I'm going to mention have this phrase in it, John referring to himself as the disciple, the other disciple who Jesus loved. I love how this first passage I'm going to mention, John in John 13, gives us an inside view of this deeper friendship between the young apostle John and Jesus. It's John 13, and verse 23 tells us again this phrase, one of the disciples, the one Jesus loved dearly, was at the table to the right of him, sitting right there to the right of Jesus in a place of honor, leaning on Jesus with his head on his shoulder. 12 guys, 13 with Jesus, maybe a few servants in the room. John at the right side of Jesus, that place of honor, his head resting on Jesus' shoulder. John was likely the youngest of the disciples. And from the historical perspective of events that we can see in John's life, we can surmise that probably at this time he was around 20 years old. He was the rookie in the bunch. He and his brother, James, had left the fishing business to follow Jesus. Jesus had a brief time to spend getting to know John that led up to that amazing all-night prayer event in Jesus' life. He went up on the mountain to pray, Luke tells us in chapter 6. And that resulted in Jesus confirming that John, the young 20-year-old, would be among those 12 that the Heavenly Father was leading him to appoint as those who would be his 12. In these early years of John's life, after he became a part of the inner circle of Jesus' influence, this friendship with Jesus just radically changed John's life. Can you imagine spending 3 years with a personal friendship with Jesus, living on the planet, day by day, human encounter with the person Jesus? That friendship was transforming John to become more and more the kind of person that Jesus himself was. That's what happens when you hang around with Jesus, when you spend a little time with him each day, when you establish his place in your life, his presence in your life on a day-by-day basis, like John, even though we don't have face-to-face human contact, little by little, transformation is happening where we become more and more like Jesus. So John heard the words that Jesus spoke. He saw the life that Jesus lived. His life was altered. The course of his life, the plan for his life, the images that he thought of who he might become and who he would be were completely changed because of this relationship. And so here he is at the table, at that spot of honor by Jesus, with his head resting on the shoulder of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? I want to be that guy. I want to be a disciple that Jesus loves, leaning in on Jesus, putting my head on his shoulder, so to speak. I can understand how John must have been so loved by Jesus. Jesus must have loved that young man so much, the way he was moving in the relationship. Well, I've had about 10-plus years, 11 or so, Chris, watching Chris's life and calling and ministry unfold. And that's enough to get a pretty good impression of what God's doing in his life. But I'm here today to say that I've enjoyed watching Chris in a period when he was living in the California area that I live in, where I was serving as a pastor and part of his life, seeing that evidence in Chris of a leaning in on Christ. I could see that in the way he responded to a combination of key mentors, those who were discipling him. That circle of key influencers included some very special friends that are still part of Chris's circle of influence now, godly, wise friends that he was influenced by. It also included that circle of people within his educational world, his teachers and those who were counselors in the realm of William Jessup University, where Chris was studying at that time. And it also included the opportunity that I had for about 3 years to be a firsthand influencer in Chris and Stacy's life, along with my wife, Jean Ann. to meet with Chris many times in my living room. I still remember the first time they came applying for the job to work with me in our church, directing our young adult ministry, and they sat on my couch, and they were both wearing their matching flip-flops. Yeah, those little flip-flops, they've been married a year and a half, and they had etched right onto the strap of the flip-flops the day of their wedding anniversary. And so now you'll be noticing when he comes up here with the robe on, just checking to see what kind of shoes he's wearing. That's been almost, is it 13 plus or almost 13? Almost 13 years, I think the flip-flops are gone. But I remember those days in my home. I remember those days in my office, and I like to think of my office in that church location as a prayer room. And the chairs, the seating we had there, spending time on our knees in front of the Lord and sharing ministry together, partnering, envisioning, praying for the work of that ministry. And I loved how in that period, a seed of a vision for Chris's ministry was being planted, watered, and nurtured by Christ through that connection that we had together. Chris demonstrating a teachable spirit. The way I like to think of it is leaning in on Jesus, putting his head on the shoulder of Jesus. And even as Chris would lean in on my life and allow me to be an influencer in his life for the work of the Lord, as he would lean in on me, he was leaning in on the shoulder of Jesus, submitting to counsel, accountability, seeking to be a disciple that Jesus loved. So this is a moment for all of us, for those of you that are part of First Pres here in Dearborn, to think about your own involvement as a disciple that Jesus loved and the ways in which you are leaning in on Jesus, the way you're putting your head on Jesus' shoulder. And I commend to you the journey of learning to love and partner with Chris and Stacy, and your action of leaning in on their lives and their faith and their witness. Being teachable and responsive to their leadership in this church will be a part of your own journey of leaning in on Jesus. The second passage I want to mention also has this amazing historical place in the book of John, chapter 19, when we come to the cross. And here we are in verse 25 of chapter 19. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. When Jesus saw her there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, John speaking about himself, Jesus saw her there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to the disciple, "Here's your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Wow, according to the biblical record, John was the only one that showed up at the cross. How crazy is that? But it was a moment of great turmoil and great fear. Somehow, against all the odds, against all the dangers, Jesus' mother, Mary, right there at the cross, and John at her side. The darkest moment of Jesus' life, there was John. That set John apart from the others immediately, making him in some very special way truly a disciple that Jesus loved. And no one could discredit that thought. John was at the cross. And Jesus gave John an assignment that day, the most important assignment he'd ever been given up to that point, to take Mary and to care for her. And Mary was at a very sweet place in her life. You know, if you add up the years of how young she was when Jesus was born and those years of Jesus' life, she was probably in her late 40s, you know, coming up to age 50. And John was given a very special assignment. He had to figure all the stuff out about Medicare and long-term health plans. He had to find a way to deal with that. He didn't know all of those things, just like I didn't know what was coming in the last few years as my parents had been aging. And it's been just a few months now since my dear mother at age 83 went to be with Jesus, leaving my 90-year-old dad behind. And my dad has had a very special assignment given to him from Jesus in his vows to stand with my mother in those last few months of her life, a very difficult period for all of us. And I saw that my dad was a disciple that Jesus loved. And I wanted to be like him. I leaned in on that difficult period to see what was going on in that relationship. And now I have that assignment to go forward with my dad in this period, to walk through the cross that he bears in this period of grieving and learning to live forward. What a blessing and a burden it must have been for John to take this role with Mary and to live into that. What a beautiful testimony of what it's like to be a disciple that Jesus loves. Life offers moments like that for all of us. For you, when Jesus gives us a responsibility to love on people, to love them on his behalf, he gives us that assignment. It may involve a cross that we bear with people. When we show up at the cross, like John did, we are becoming disciples that Jesus dearly loves. Well, Chris may have a new assignment coming. He was telling me at dinner the other night that there's some conversation with his mom and dad about leaving California and coming to Michigan and being a little bit closer to their son who they love and who they know they can trust to help them in these years of their lives. These are the moments of entering in. There's one more passage before I finish. John 20. John 20, verse 4. We heard it read. John, the other disciple, ran ahead. John and Peter are running. It has to be true. It can't just be John thinking, what a speed runner I am. You know, Peter would have nixed that, right, when he was doing the edits on the book of John. No, he was younger, perhaps. He was charged. He was inspired. He had heard that the stone was rolled away and that his best friend, Jesus, the one who he was leaning in on, the one who he would put his head on his shoulder, that he was no longer dead, really? And he was running ahead. He was running faster. He wanted to go and see what had actually happened. I love that. I love that about John. There's an interesting thing. There's just this idea of running ahead. If I use that as sort of a symbolism of the life of John, what I see in the book of John this amazing section of writing in John 14, 15, and 16 where John tells the story of that night before Jesus was crucified and how Jesus explained that he was the true vine and that the disciples, that we would be his branches. And if we would abide in him, if he would abide in us, there would be this relationship of fruitfulness and we would bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And that most important passage is in that book of John. It's the only place in the Bible it is. The other writers of the gospel messages did not bring that message forward. And I see John living into the truth and the reality of that passage. It was almost 40 years, that stretch where he was caretaking Jesus' mother Mary in the town of Jerusalem. He was kind of landlocked. He couldn't move to another city or do a missionary project because he was caretaking Mary. During that time, he was no doubt writing, notating, remembering, talking even out loud to Mary what had happened even on that night. And as he wrote those words and he was writing that, Jesus said, I am the true vine. The one who abides in me will bear much fruit. I believe John was living into it. I believe that 40-year period before the gospel was written, fully finished, was that period where John was saying, what did that mean? What does that mean for me to have a relationship with my friend Jesus now that he's gone and left this earth? John remembered in that passage, John 14, Jesus saying, it's better for you if I go away. Because if I go away, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will come and he will be in you. And then Jesus added, and I will be in you. And then the teaching about abiding in Christ. John was remembering and John was learning and integrating into his life that there was a relationship with Jesus that would go beyond the grave, beyond the resurrection, beyond his departure to heaven. John was living into the reality of what it meant to continue this journey of being the disciple that Jesus loved. So this is what I love about referencing Chris's life today. being here as a witness of this, is talking about the power of Chris's heart to lean in on this transforming friendship with Jesus. And this transplanting and relocating effect that's happening in Chris's life right now from, you know, this little town across the way, originally, you know, from Pittsburgh where he was training backwards, you know, to California, but being transplanted, relocated right here into this family and this fellowship. I just have to tell you one more thing about my roses. 7 rose bushes I planted in those early years in the little house where we lived on our cul-de-sac. Beautiful roses, one of every different color that was special to my wife and I. And they grew up and they were beautiful. They have many blossoms. And I, when they'd open up at the right timing, I'd clip some and I'd create these little bouquets. And, you know, every year now, in the last few years, I noticed that the first batch of roses was really good. And then the plants just kind of seemed to wither a bit. And I was giving them plenty of water and the soil was good. I was giving them nutrients. Duh! I didn't notice how the shade trees were growing up over those 7 rose bushes. I love the shade. We got to have some shade over there in hot Northern California at times. I just didn't put it together. And so those rose bushes were suffering. So this last spring, about a month ago, my project, dig up 7 rose bushes and transplant them to a special place, a new place where the sun would hit them strongly. Last week we had a couple of 80-degree days, and oh my goodness, the colors open up. And I'm just telling you, the power of the renewal for those rose bushes and the renewal in my life of love with my 40-year sweetheart, Jeanne. What an image of the power of relocation, of times of renewal, of making sure that we've got that right balance of nutrient, soil, water, and sunlight. And that is my prayer and my wish for you, Chris, as you've been relocated and transplanted to this ministry. This is a difficult time of change. You know, I get a few days driving around with Chris in the car, and I see his humility. Some days just outright fear and trepidation, right? A new challenge, a new opportunity. But the power of change is good. And for you as a church, First Pres of Dearborn, the beautiful history of your pastors, the stages of renewal that you've been through, God is preparing something now as you have a relocated pastor coming and taking root here with all the right nutrients. And this is true for you, too. This is a time when you're being renewed and replanted for what God wants to do. Chris, continue to lean in on Jesus. Continue to put your head on his shoulder in all of the ways of your personal relationship with him that are implied. Show up at the crosses of these dear people here at First Pres. Run ahead in your relationship with Jesus, that passionate friendship with Jesus. Run ahead so that these people can follow you. People of God here at First Pres, disciples that Jesus loves, you can lean in on Jesus as you lean in on Pastor Chris, and you can bear crosses with him, and you can run ahead and be at his side and let him lead you and inspire you in your own pursuit of a loving, transforming friendship with Jesus Christ. Yes, as John described himself as the one that Jesus loved. May that description be true of you, Chris, Stacy. May that be true of each one of you and of me. Thank you for letting me bring this moment of message today.